Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
And good afternoon, Coos County. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. I sincerely hope that everybody had a happy and successful holiday season. I hope nobody was involved in anything, you know, negative or anything like that. Because I want my listeners to come back. And besides, I don't want to see anybody. You know, New Year's is a biggie. We were fortunate, from what I understand, there are only two DUI citations issued on New Year's Eve for the partying and everything. So it sounds like people are finally getting a handle on driving when they're impaired and they're not doing it, and that's a good thing for everybody. Anyway, I thank you for joining me today. I have Rob Taylor in the studio with me, and later in the show we're going to be discussing the upcoming urban renewal battle that's forming even as we speak. I think maybe I might have eaten one too many Christmas cookies, because I'm just totally confused here, and maybe somebody out there can help me, okay? Like you, I've been buried in TV and radio commercials and print ads telling me that voting for a tax increase on health insurance premiums is somehow going to lower the cost of health care. Really? Really? Would somebody please call in and explain to me how increasing taxes on something is going to lower the cost? I'm having a real difficult time figuring that out.
Yeah, that's called Democrat knowledge there.
Yeah, well, it's liberal logic, which is an oxymoron to begin with, I think. But we've been deluged with this stuff. We've gotten slick mailers and everything telling us how wonderful another tax increase would be.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how if you're paying more, you're paying less.
Well, you know, that's how the government works. They figure that if they can take enough from you and tell you that they're going to give you something in return, and a lot of people will benefit from this who aren't paying their fair share. Of course, you know, there's the moochers in society.
Right.
And, of course, the people who will be paying it are the people who pay full price for all their medical care, for their full premiums.
Absolutely. You know, just after Christmas, all registered voters in Oregon got their voters pamphlet in the mail. And a lot of us have already gotten our ballots. I know I got mine Saturday.
Oh, yeah. It's a great thing, yeah.
Yeah. All this effort is for a single issue that we, the people, get to determine in spite of efforts by the Democrat-controlled legislature to jam this down our throat without any kind of public input. Thank God that people went out and gathered enough petitions to get this on the ballot, because the thieves in Salem were just going to stick it to us without us having anything to say about it.
You know, we had petition signatures here, you know, when that was going on.
Yeah.
And people were here coming, and we had them right there on the show, and you could go come out here to the City Hall building and get signatures. And I'll tell you what, our area, we got some of the most signatures for that ballot, from what I heard, is that our region took
a lot. Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, we're very hardcore at getting active out
here.
Well,
I think probably most of the rural areas would oppose this more than the urban areas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And here's a question at hand in Measure 101. This isn't whether we fund Medicaid. Measure 101 is about how we fund Medicaid. Whether we should create a new tax on some people's health insurance policies to pay for Medicaid. That's how simple it is.
Right.
But you notice I said the word some people. Only some people are subject to this new tax. And those people include Oregonians that pay full price for their own health insurance. including those that just bought health care through Obamacare at healthcare.gov, nearly 12,000 college students who buy their own health insurance as a requirement of attending an Oregon university. They're going to get socked by this.
Well, that's an education in itself.
Yeah. Small employers, anybody under 50 employees, they're going to get hit with it. And this includes businesses and nonprofits.
Right.
And, of course, the Oregon public school districts. Now, don't forget, the schools are already whining about not having enough of our money.
Of course. So it only makes sense to take more of it to fund, you know.
Yeah, they don't have enough now, so we're going to add to their overhead costs so they'll have even less. And then, you know, the next thing is, oh, well, we've got to have more taxes for schools because it's for the children.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. voting yes on this measure 101 will also lock into statute a provision, and most people don't know this now, there's a provision that insurance companies are going to be allowed to pass those taxes along to their ratepayers.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
So that means your insurance premium is going to go up.
Well, as long as that it's making affordable health care just a little more affordable.
Oh, according to them.
Right.
Yeah, according to them. And basically, this effectively creates a sales tax on health insurance. That's what it is. Local hospitals are going to get hit with a tax on their net revenues. And that's going to translate into higher health care costs for patient hospital visits.
Right.
Because you know the hospital's going to pass that right on to the patients.
And we know this, and you've said this the last time we were on the show, that businesses do not pay taxes. And no matter what the government says, healthcare is a business. It provides
That's right.
a service. And they're going to pass that right on to you, folks.
Yep. The insurance companies are going to pass it on in the form of higher insurance rates. And the hospitals are going to pass it on in the form of higher hospital costs. But what's worse, these pro-tax Democrats in Salem gave a carve-out to huge corporations, unions, and insurance companies who are all exempted from these new taxes. Golly, so big corporations, unions, including public employee unions.
So that affects PERS.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely. They get a pass on it. And during the 2017 legislative session, Republicans had multiple ways to avoid these taxes while fully funding Medicaid. You know, I followed that very closely as this traveled through the legislature. And
right.
The Republicans came up, gosh, I think there was like 8 or 9 different amendments that they offered.
Mm-hmm.
All of which were turned down by the Democrats. Not a single one of them made it through. But the Democrat leadership wouldn't give any consideration to any alternatives. If it didn't come from them, they didn't want anything to do with it.
Right. I mean, the Republicans could give them the goose that laid the golden egg, and they would make pate. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Now, under Governors Kitzhaber and Brown, the Oregon Health Authority has wasted or misspent nearly $1 billion on failed software projects, costly lawsuits, and overpayments to Medicaid providers.
And the Oregon Health Authority, that really isn't that old. Didn't that come into existence?
It came into existence
2009.
Shortly after Obamacare went
right.
into effect. Yeah, yeah. But they've wasted nearly $1 billion of our money. And almost every day we're hearing more and more stuff come out on how corrupt this Oregon Healthcare Authority really is. Remember Cover Oregon?
Right.
Or as I called it, Cover Up Oregon?
Cover Up Oregon. For
well,
all
that thing
scams.
Went down in flames because of software glitches and poor management.
Yeah, remember trying to get onto the website?
Jesus.
I guess they couldn't figure out where GoDaddy was.
But, you know, here we are in a state where the state government received record revenues last year, with even higher revenues that are predicted for the 2019-2021 biennium, you've got to wonder why they need more of our money for an agency that's already wasted nearly $1 billion. Special interests and healthcare lobbyists cry that, without the new tax, 350,000 of Oregon's most vulnerable could go without health care coverage. Well, that's pure BS. It's not true. It's just a flat lie.
Plus,
that isn't going to happen. There's going to be no flooding of emergency rooms of people without health care.
The Democrats would never let that happen because that would be their base. And once they hurt their base, they would start losing that support. And I can guarantee they'll find that money somewhere.
Yeah. You know, well, you would think that the legislature would be able to find the money to fill the Medicaid budget gap without a new tax on the people. But
right.
That isn't going to happen. Let's take a break here. And let's give something away on the first break. You know, it's a new year. So let's try something different. This is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. There's one in Walmart and one in Reedsport, all owned by the same gentleman here that lives in Coos Bay. And he wanted to do something as kind of a thank you to the community for supporting his restaurant. So he picked the reason he picked the Jim Bice show to do this, because I've got more listeners than just about any other show on the air, so he wanted to reach as many people as possible. And this is basically a thank you from the owner of the local McDonald's. And what I have here, I've got a certificate for one free sandwich of your choice, one free breakfast sandwich of your choice, one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meal, and a certificate for one free dessert of your choice, as well as a sheet with various coupons for a number of different products. It's buy one, get one free type of thing. I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124, and you can win all these goodies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And I'll be right back.
Always the right tire, always the right price, Far West Tire.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto. I was wondering how your tires are holding up on the wet, slick roads out there. If you are ready for a new set of tires, stop by Far West Tire and Auto, where you can get up to $140 back in rebates when you purchase 4 select Goodyear tires. Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show, and you can quit calling now. We do have a winner, but we'll give something away next hour. So, you know, keep your dialing finger limbered up there. But here's the thing on this funding for Medicaid. There's plenty of money. There's no shortage of money for this without a tax increase. First, the caseloads for the Oregon Health Plan are less than they were predicted before the session ended in July, which reduces the amount of money that the agency needs by about $100 million. Secondly, There's the money that should be reclaimed from Medicaid providers that were given $64 million in erroneous overpayments under the failed cover-up Oregon plan that was instigated by the Salem Democrats. Finally, we can increase the closed-loop hospital assessment to raise roughly an additional $200 million. Now, this closed-loop hospital assessment, this has been the engine for Medicaid funding since before any of these new taxes were introduced. This came into being about the same time that Obamacare did and Cover Up Oregon did. However, if Measure 101 passes, there's going to be a new hard tax on hospitals in addition to the closed-loop hospital assessment. That new tax in Measure 101 is not assigned to the hospitals. Think about this. That money does not go to the hospitals. They get charged for it, but that money, excuse me here, I'm getting a little choked up. That money can be grabbed by the legislature and moved over into the general fund to be spent anywhere on anything that the legislature sees fit other than Medicaid.
They're like the Harvey Weinstein to a model over there, huh?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I don't know. I was speculating, well, they're going to have all this extra money. Maybe they're going to use the money to fund Governor Brown's proposed new $700 million cap and trade carbon tax.
Yeah.
Which they're pushing for real hard. I think she's supposed to introduce that sometime later in the month. Of course, if they did that, if they get the carbon tax, you can expect your gasoline to go to about $4 a gallon.
Right, and this is on top of the $500 million that she wants for homeless projects.
Right, so. Yeah. There's just never enough money for all the liberal causes.
Which is kind of ironic. They keep taking that money. They're creating more homeless. So it's sustainability for government.
Yeah, basically, you got it. That's what it amounts to, is sustainability for government. You know, the legislature should be using the 2018 short session for budget reconciliation, which is why the short session was created initially. It was not created to implement complicated policies like cap and trade.
Oh, heck, Jim, they're going to plan on introducing gun bills.
Now I'm going to get to that,
okay,
too.
I'm sorry.
You're getting ahead of me.
Sorry.
To top all this off, the editorial boards at the Oregonian and other liberal Oregon newspapers are all urging a no vote on this. We've got liberals that are opposing it. And, you know, voting no on this turkey is not going to take away health care coverage from anyone, regardless of the lies they're spreading. But it will force the legislature to do its job properly and fairly, and budgeting for Medicaid, something that it failed to do last year. They didn't even budget for it. They knew that they were going to come for a new tax, so they didn't even address it.
So one of the best reasons to vote for this is if you vote no, you're forcing them to do their job, and that would be the best reason to vote for it.
Exactly. And, you know, no matter what your personal feelings may be about a liberal policy that fines you if you don't have health care insurance and taxes you if you do, you know, it's a no-win.
Right.
No matter if you can afford to add an assessment to your already staggering health care insurance premiums, I've got one friend, her Medicare, you know, Medicare just went up this year.
Right.
People who are getting Social Security, they got a Social Security increase.
Right.
Yet with the increased cost of Medicare, you're actually netting less than you did before.
Right, and more of it's going to the program instead of the people it's supposed to benefit.
But I have a friend whose entire Medicare check goes to pay for her health care.
Oh, boy.
This is ridiculous, folks. It's ridiculous. And then they come with this... misleading ballot title and an election date that was engineered by liberals in Salem to undermine the voting process. This measure is also going to have a profound effect on your gun rights, as Rob started to mention, and here's why. Here's why. While the short session, held in even-number years, is sold to us as simply a way to deal with our urgent budget issues, it's become anything but that.
Right.
It's become a catch-all for everything they couldn't do in the regular legislative sessions, because these short sessions, there's not a whole lot of oversight.
And they're only allowed two bills per representative,
right,
per senator, right?
Right. But there's no limit to the issues, no matter how complex they are, that can be voted on in these short sessions. There's not enough time to fully debate an issue. They just put it together, vote on it, and run on to the next one, without ever considering what the people might think. There's no time for public input.
It's kind of like the way they jammed Obamacare through the federal level.
Exactly. We do have a caller here. We've got Lynn from Coos Bay. Lynn, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was going to tell you, I got a call out of Idaho, and they were wanting to know how I was going to vote on it. And you could tell the way all the questions were bent was, you know, they were obviously for it.
Right, yeah. You know,
and I was at the Bay Clinic yesterday, and they've got a thing up in there that if we don't vote it in, they're going to close the emergency rooms.
Yeah, you know, I've had several people now tell me that they're seeing these posters not only in Bay Clinic, but in some doctor's offices and other places around the area. They're all for this. And
yeah.
They don't tell you that, well, this is basically going to screw you. They're all in it for themselves and to hell with the people.
Well, how does this work? How can they keep running special election after special? Why wasn't this tied to the other one we just got reamed on?
Well,
why do we got to pay for it twice?
Well, because that's the liberal way.
Well, and actually, the school bond measure and the state measure, it wouldn't have mattered because there are two different elections,
right,
that would have been paid by one by the state, one by the county, so it's or by the school district. So it's two different election.
Yeah, it's two
cycles.
Different things, and. Part of the problem is, and a lot of people don't realize this, we the taxpayers, we the normal people, are being hit by a number of different entities for more and more money. We've got school districts, we've got local governments, we've got county governments, and we've got the state government, all coming with their hand out for more money for this, that, and the other thing. Sooner or later, that pot of money is going to dry up. You know?
Yeah.
Now,
I wanted to tell you that California is now, you know, now they were talking about it, but I guess it's a law now that if your neighbor don't like you, they can call in and say, you know, you're loud or whatever. Oh, and by the way, he's got guns.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, they're
come in and take the guns for no reason.
Well, don't be discouraged, because we have people in the legislature here in Oregon that are trying to do the same damn thing here.
Right.
So, you know, if a liberal gets an idea someplace and manages to jam it through, then every other liberal in the country wants to pick up on it and jam it through wherever they can. And
especially if it's a stupid idea.
Yeah, the stupider it is, the more likely they are to do it.
So that means we're probably going to be a sanctuary state like California pretty soon.
Basically, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to turn us into California North.
Well, I need to correct you on that, sir. We were the very first sanctuary state in the entire nation. It happened back in 1988. They passed the sanctuary state law,
right,
here in Oregon. And we were the only one until California passed it this past season.
Yep. Yeah. We're,
well, I guess it's good to be first for something.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Lynn, I've got some advice from you, and for everybody else listening, I've got some advice for when you get these phone calls asking how you're going to vote or these opinion polls. The first thing you ask the caller, who's paying for this? When you ask that question right there, half of them will automatically hang up on you.
Well, Jim, I usually ask, what are you wearing? But, you know, I'll go with that. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I always ask them, well, who's paying for this? And if they tell, sometimes they'll say, well, I can't divulge that. And then you tell them, well, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you, and hang up on them.
Right.
But when you ask them who's paying, half the time they will hang up.
Right.
Because they want to do all this in secret. What they're doing, they're putting together their push polls to try to convince everybody that, oh, this is popular and everybody wants it.
And that's how they try to convince people from going to the polls, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, so, you guys have a good one.
Okay. I thank you for the call. You have a great day. And with that, let's take another break here, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. How do you save money on brake work? Not by skimping, say the experts, who claim a bargain brake job seldom is a bargain. Instead, they say invest in the best brake service available, drive sensibly, and of course, practice preventative maintenance. Preventative maintenance includes a periodic inspection of brake components to stay ahead of excessive wear of your brake rotors and drums. If you have squeaky brakes, they may be getting worn out and need to be replaced.
Make it a point now to have your brakes checked by Tom's Bulldog Automotive. They'll make sure your brakes are working properly and your car is in tip-top shape for the winter. Call them at Tom's Bulldog Automotive today at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. You know, I was talking on the break about how this Measure 101 is likely to impact our gun rights. Here's how. While the short session that's held in even number years was sold as simply a way to deal with urgent budget issues, it's become anything but that. There are no limits to the issues, no matter how complex, that can be voted on in these short sessions. And remember, on a complex issue, there's no time for public input or hearings or anything. It's just the legislature jamming things down our throat at will, and we the people have no recourse. And now we've seen over and over how votes are taken on issues that have not been adequately studied and examined or put forward for public comment. Measures are rushed through the legislature with little opportunity for public input and little time for the legislators themselves to even fully understand the ramifications of their actions. So, basically, the anti-gun majority in Salem, because make no mistake about it, the majority in Salem is anti-gun. It's all liberal Democrats. They've made no secret of their intention to continue their assaults on your gun rights. And thanks to out-of-state billionaires like Michael Bloomberg, they've got the votes to do it and they've got the money. Now, normal people, the pro-liberty people, are outspent by about 10 to 1. By money coming from New York anti-gun extremist, Mike Bloomberg, as I mentioned before. Now, that kind of money buys a lot of incompetence and a lot of anti-gun votes. And it's interesting to note that local anti-gun groups, those domiciled within the state of Oregon, they only contribute tiny amounts of money to local candidates. And all that does is demonstrate how weak their grassroots efforts really are and how few people actually support them.
Yeah, I mean, Cease Fire was pretty pathetic when I went up there for their conference. They had the district attorney and the sheriff there at the meeting, and this was in Newport. But there was very little of their own people there. I would say about 10 people total showed up, and the lady was a great speaker, even though I disagreed with everything she said and completely disagreed with her conclusions. You're right. These small gun groups just aren't pushing the money out like the bigger ones.
No, it's coming from Bloomberg and some of the big ones, and they're trying to influence the people of Oregon. Well, they're not trying to influence the people of Oregon. They're trying to buy politicians.
Right.
And by and large, they've been successful at it.
Isn't it funny? You got Russia collusion, and yet that's horrible, but yet you got Bloomberg collusion in Oregon, and that's okay.
Oh, that's okay, yeah. So what's all this have to do with the tax on health insurance? It's simple. The same anti-gun leftists who rammed through bills to make it a crime to safeguard a firearm for a friend, SB 941.
Right.
And to allow confiscations of firearms with no accusation of a crime and no due process, as in Senate Bill 719, these are the same people that are pushing for taxes on one of your most expensive needs, your health insurance.
Right.
So it's the same people doing it. They want this money to fund their pet projects, even though over and over we've seen them squander millions. Remember, those millions of dollars come out of your pocket. We see them squander millions of dollars through ineptitude and cronyism on a clear inability to deal with any matter that concerns health care. If they're able to keep this windfall, they'll have very little to occupy their time except more gun control.
Yeah, that's all they have to do is sit around thinking of new rules and laws to make you obey.
Yeah. Governor Kate Brown and House Majority Leader Jennifer Williamson, by the way, those are peas in a pod, they've both publicly stated that they plan to use a short session to ram through more gun control restrictions.
Well, of course.
They've already told us what they're going to do. If you read the voters' pamphlet, there's a couple of things you need to consider on this. First, the voters' pamphlet indicates that this is going to be a temporary tax. Come on.
Tax, I mean, temporary?
Break. Can anybody tell me what tax has ever been imposed that didn't last forever?
I mean, we still got taxes that are paying for World War I on our phone bill.
Another thing to consider is that virtually every one of the groups in favor of this tax, you know, groups like Planned Parenthood, Oregon Nurses Association, the League of Women Whiners, the public sector unions, AARP, Oregon Education Association, and many others, every single one of these groups also supported Obamacare, and they also supported the failed cover-up Oregon.
Non-governmental organizations that live off public money for their own personal private profit.
Exactly. So I guess to liberals who want to live out of your pocket, failure after failure after failure equals success.
Right.
That's where we're at in the state of Oregon today, folks. Everything they've touched has turned to crap regarding health care.
And see, right. And Jim, that's why they're so angry at Donald Trump when he gets up there and tells them he's a genius and then names off all the things that he's accomplished in his life. They get mad because then when they have to point to their own accomplishments, they have to realize the record doesn't show that their accomplishments did anything but really ruin a good portion or segments of our society. I mean, look at the great society itself that they were trying to propose back in 63, all the way up to Obamacare now. All of that and eventually is going to do worse to our country than the good that they claim they're doing.
Well, yeah, look at the damage done by Obamacare to the economy.
Right.
Would somebody, you know, if you're one of those people out there that believes that we shouldn't own firearms, I want you to call in and explain to me what laws have been passed or could have been passed that would have stopped any of these mass shootings or that would have stopped any of this gun violence short of confiscating all the guns in the country. And even that isn't going to work because over the weekend I was just looking at what's happened in France and Germany. You know, they have very, very strict gun control there.
Some of the strictest, right.
Yeah. I happen to be real familiar with Germany because my wife has a brother that lives there. And in Germany, if you can own a firearm, you have to get a permit from the government to purchase a firearm. And once you purchase it, you must be a member of a gun club. And the firearm must be stored under lock and key at that gun club. You can't take it home. And if you want to use it, you've got to notify the club in advance that you're coming to use your own firearm.
Well, I'm glad they're not doing that with condoms.
Well, maybe they should.
Maybe they should. I don't know.
But it doesn't work. If you compare the numbers, and I know the libs like to tell you, oh, my God, you know, look at Europe, their firearm deaths are lower and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's kind of true, but it's kind of not true.
Right.
If you compare it on a per capita basis, because, I mean, let's face it, the United States is much, much larger than either France or Germany.
Combined, right.
Yeah. If you do it on a per capita basis, what you find out is even though firearms are pretty much banned in France and Germany, on a per capita basis, they have more firearm violence than we do.
Right. And not only that, if you look at the nonviolent figures for robbery, burglary, and all those other things, they actually are quite right up there with America as far as their percentages.
Well, yeah.
You know, you were talking about something, and I refer to back to another caller who was talking about the hospitals here who are promoting
right.
in the medical clinics and stuff. And this is the problem with socialized medicine. And I just recently lost my doctor here. And I won't give him his name, and I won't even tell the clinic that he was at. But I went to the clinic and they had one of those posters up, and the poster was, you know, vote yes for this, and if you don't, this is what's going to happen. And of course they maligned, you know, anyone who didn't vote for it. And that was upsetting to me. And I chewed out the staff, the five people who were standing there at the check-in window, you know.
Right.
And they weren't doing anything. And they brought me into the doctor's office. And I refused to discuss it with the doctor because I don't like to mix my politics with medicine.
I know.
And here's why. It's supposed to be a professional place. And when you go into a doctor's office, you're telling them the most personal of your personal private business. And now when he takes his doctor's office and turns it into a political campaign or a campaign headquarters for a an issue that you've worked against or you're opposed to, what they have done is they've turned your doctor into your political adversary.
Right.
And now I don't want to tell this guy anything. And because of these new regulations, and I actually got into an argument with a nurse right before she gave me her flu shot, which I'll tell you, it hurt my arm for another 4 days after that. But we got into an argument because she was complaining that the government is now forcing them to do so much more than what they used to. And I said, well, that's the reason I'm opposed to these types of legislation.
Yeah.
And she actually, they had a vote yes on Measure 101 in the examination room where I was sitting there talking with my doctor. And I felt like I no longer had a doctor. I was dealing with a government agent. And that's the problem with socialized medicine. And that's why your glasses today are so much cheaper, because medicine for eyeglasses and eye doctors are not as regulated as other doctors. And that's because opticians and ophthalmologists have great lobbyists. And so they've been able to make it where their business isn't regulated. So you go in, you buy some glasses. First thing you do is, you go see the doctor. You get the service from the doctor. Then you go pick out your glasses or your contacts, and you don't pay nothing until you're done with all of that. And you go up to the cash register, you get a price, you pay the bill, and it's cheaper now to get a pair of glasses than it ever was at any time in history. And I know this because I started in the business when it was a wholesale business, and you had to order glasses. They were hundreds of dollars. It took you weeks to get them. Now you can get two for $69, and you can get it in an hour or less.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's capitalism, folks. And if they did that and applied that to our medical services, I could go see a doctor where I pay the doctor directly through his cashier, and I don't have to worry about the government interfering with my medical care. And that's what we have now. And in fact, I'm going to have to start looking for a doctor because I yelled at everyone at the at the clinic. And because I yelled at everyone and I tore up their poster, I guess, you know, I'm now violent and threatening because they sent me a certified letter telling me.
You look like a violent threatening
person. Well, if they consider what I did violent and threatening, I guess they haven't been to a protest in Portland lately. So,
did you burn their cars?
Yeah, did I burn their cars?
Did you break the windows out of the building?
Yeah, kicking the windows and stuff. Yeah. And they're calling me violent because I take a poster that I worked to get those signatures, and I ripped that poster up and I handed it back to the lady. And she goes, you need to be quiet. And I didn't even give her a chance to spit it out before I started yelling at her again. And I basically walked out, and I knew now I'm going to have to get a doctor outside of the county because I'm terrified that any doctor I get may be a political adversary and I'm going to get a weird shot, you know.
Exactly.
So this is why I'm against socialized medicine.
Well, and maybe it's time, Rob, for everybody to start doing like you did. You know, I'm not shy. I don't care who I piss off.
Right.
And maybe all of us need to get to that point. You know, when they start trying to jam this kind of crap down our throats, without our input even.
Right.
Because remember, the only reason we've got this on the ballot is because ordinary citizens got a referendum going to give us a voice, because the legislature was going to go ahead and do this without any public input.
Right, right.
And so,
exactly. And I support my, because this is a private clinic, so I support their right to do with that. But when they start getting political,
they've stepped beyond the bounds of their area of expertise.
And you know, when I go in to get to any other shop, like a car shop,
they
don't have my personal records. The doctor does, and he determines future programs that you will be getting on. So that's another thing to think about. You know, if you're going into disability or you're going to be getting Medicare or Medicaid, your doctor decides a lot of those things for you.
That's right. I just looked at the clock. We do have to take another break here. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 541-267-2124. I'd love to hear from you because, you know, this is going to affect everybody. It really is. And I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote. I'm just giving you the facts on it. You make your own decision. But if you'd like to spout off, if you've got a viewpoint on it, call in, 541-267-2124. Now I'll be right back.
Today's newer vehicles are more dependable than ever before. Qualified technicians keep them operating at peak efficiency. Bayshore Auto Repair, North Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay, have all the proper equipment and training to service and repair today's high-tech vehicles. Bayshore Auto Repair believes that care of their customers is just as important as the care they give your vehicle. Call 269-2700 for an appointment to keep your car, truck, or RV in top running condition. Bayshore Auto Repair. Top quality service and excellent customer care are their most important goals.
It's time to play Coos Trivia.
I'll take Coos Business for $200, please.
Question, who is Jim Vick?
The owner of Jim Vick Auto Sales on Broadway in Virginia in North Bend.
Correct! What year did Jim Vick get into the car business?
Easy, 1961.
Wait, really? I didn't know that.
It's true. Did you know I just bought my pre-owned BMW from him?
I've noticed some great-looking Mercedes and Lexus models on the lot as well. I need to head down there now.
You do. And remember, Jim says,
if I can't save you money, I don't deserve your business.
With the holiday season nearly upon us, many of us could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, pays cash for firearms, gold and silver coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. World Pawn Exchange is also a fun place to shop for those unique items you may not be able to find elsewhere. So if you need cash or are looking for something special, stop by the World Pawn Exchange at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend. Browse through their extensive inventory of handguns, rifles, and shotguns, too.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. During a break here, we were discussing my little faux pas at the beginning of the show when I started to introduce Rob Taylor as Rob Stewart. And we decided here in the studio that maybe he really is Rob Stewart incognito, and maybe we should just devote the rest of the show and have Rob sing to us.
No, man,
think?
They got weak stomachs at home. I don't think they could go through that, you know. Yeah. And, hey, I did want to announce, you know what today is? It's one of, and I normally don't work on today because it's a national holiday. It's Elvis Presley's birthday.
That's right.
It's a hunk of burning love out there. You know, and you haven't lived until you've been to a Las Vegas Elvis Presley wedding.
Oh, I know.
And they come out, and the guy comes out, and he sings a little bit of songs for you and tells you you're going to love this guy with a bunch of hunk of burning love and never step on his blue suede shoes. And then he asked the woman something. If you ever get married, elope to Las Vegas. I did it over 21 years ago, and it worked. So
really?
Yeah, and my parents keep thanking me to this day because they're still paying off my sister's wedding. So
yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I've gone to a couple of those Elvis impersonators. That's one of those things. Some of them are really, really good.
Right.
I went to one, you know, you could sit there and you could close your eyes and you couldn't tell.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
You couldn't tell. But then I've been to others that butcher it so bad that it makes you wonder, why did I spend money on this nonsense?
Well, this guy wasn't bad. He was the young Elvis. So, you know, you find a big Elvis or an older Elvis, that's, you know, and if he's good, he can do the karate thing in the outfit.
Right.
You know, and
now, So you're saying you're not going to sing to the listeners?
No, not going to sing. Not even close.
Well, maybe that's a good thing.
That'd be like torturing. They wouldn't have to do waterboarding. See, I should join special services.
Yeah.
They come in and I'll sing for them and they'll talk. I mean, you know.
Well, after the show, let's call Donald Trump. We'd probably get you a job.
Get me in there. I like this. I could use it.
You sing to the prisoners and they'll be happy to tell them anything they want to know. We're having too much fun here.
Yeah.
But you know, this is serious, folks. This Measure 101, the only people that are going to benefit are the labor unions, the medical profession,
right,
and all of the hangers-on that supported Obamacare from the get-go. And we've seen how well that worked out. So, you know, it's up to you. Now, if you're one of those people that thought Obamacare was absolutely wonderful, you probably want to vote for it. But if you're a normal person that understands that this is nothing more than our out-of-control Democrat-dominated legislature wanting to get more of your money so they can spread it around for their pet projects, then you should vote accordingly.
Yeah.
Because that's really all it comes down to. I mean, when you pass a bill, a tax bill, that specifically shelters certain groups and organizations from having to pay, would somebody explain to me how that's fair to everybody?
How is it moral? And, you know, there's a lot of taxing systems that are set up that way. In fact, you know, we didn't go over the new tax bill that they just passed at the federal level.
And right.
There's a lot of things in that that...
I want to do that, but I'm still wading through it.
Are you still wading through it? Because there's a lot of pages. I think it's like 500 pages long or something like that.
719 pages.
Oh, wow.
That's what I downloaded.
I know. I opened that sucker up, and it took a while to download, so I knew I was going to be reading a while.
Yeah, they're all PDFs, so it's a pain in the butt, but I've been wading through it and making notes. I'm about a third of the way through, but I don't want to talk about it until I'm familiar.
Right.
Anyway, that music coming up in the background means we're at the top of the hour. We're going to hear from some of our great sponsors. And, of course, we're going to get some propaganda and probably outright lies from the lamestream media. So put on your brain filters, suffer through it, and I'll be back in just a couple minutes.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I'm going to kind of turn the show over to Rob Taylor here. He's a lot more knowledgeable on the subject than I am. We want to talk about this urban renewal nonsense that the commissioners are trying to jam down our throats. And I think we've covered this in the past so that everybody pretty much understands that urban renewal is basically a form of tax increase.
Right.
On everybody except those in the urban renewal district.
Well,
you know,
of course.
We all pay for it. So I haven't had the time to do the in-depth research that Rob has done, so I'm going to kind of let him talk about that and bring you up to speed on what's going on. So, Rob, take it away.
Well, I'll tell you, most people don't know that there are 77 urban renewal agencies in the state. And of those 77 urban renewal agencies, 113 areas are managed by those 77 agencies. Now, we have 5 agencies here. So, you know, that's a big percentage of that 77%.
Right.
For just a small county like Coos County, and we have 7 urban renewal areas. Bandon has 2 urban renewal areas, and Coos Bay has 2. And then both of those are the largest, those urban renewal agencies receive the largest amount of money that comes out of the other overlapping taxing districts. Now, urban renewal, as most of you probably know or don't know, it's not an actual tax, it's a debt. It's an agency that creates debt, and then that debt has to be paid for by the taxes that are going to other taxing districts, such as the college, the county itself, the cities that usually have the urban renewal agencies, and especially the school district. And the reason they use the school district is because they get backfill through the equalization process, which means they can pull in a lot of the state funding.
Right.
And that sounds like a great deal because people are always say, well, don't we want that state funding? And normally I would agree with you, except here's the problem with tax increment financing. The way this scheme is built, it's almost like a pyramid scam. And the larger cities like Portland, Eugene, Springfield, Salem, they're always going to be able to have the largest amount of money pulling from the urban renewal areas, which means more money is going to be pulled from their school districts. So they're going to be getting more of the state money that backfills their school districts.
Right.
Because our school districts aren't even nearly as large as the larger cities. And that's the backbone of urban renewal. And that's why cities and counties like utilizing it, because they can tap into the school budget's money. And it's, like I said, state money, not the property taxes. Very confusing system.
Well, immediately the downside of that I see is that, okay, all these school districts are calling on the state to backfill what they're losing on the urban renewal, and then the state keeps whining, oh my God, we don't have enough money, we've got to have more taxes.
Right, and when you're talking about the school districts, you're talking about $82 million that is being pulled out of all of the state schools for this urban renewal. And remember, this is money that most of it, if it's not eaten up by financing because of the people managing the money, it's eaten up by salaries, or it's eaten up by money that's going to private businesses. Cabela's, cheese factory.
That's one of my big complaints, is why are we using taxpayer money to give to private businesses?
Right.
And if those businesses can't make it on their own, they shouldn't exist to begin with.
And anyone who has a business out there, and my family owns a business, when we built our property, no one came out there and developed the land for us. No one came out there. We had to pay for all that. I mean, all the plumbing, all the piping, all of the parking
lot,
all of the inspections,
yep.
All of that we paid for, because we're not in an urban renewal area and can't get those urban renewal benefits. And only 10% of the people, or 10% of the area in a city or a county, can be an urban renewal area. So by the criteria itself, 90% of the area is eliminated. So only a very few get to benefit from this.
However, everybody in that 90% is supporting that 10%.
Right. And of course, the city planners, they'll say, well, we need this because what it does is it boosts the economy, and it generates new economic development where people and businesses will move in, and it will artificially inflate the value of all the property around there, which, you know, if you're in real estate and you're selling property, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But if you're ma and pa and you're in your retirement home, you don't want to be next to a big urban renewal project that's artificially going to inflate the price of your house, because then you're going to be paying more in taxes than ever before for something that you already had. And you shouldn't have been paying, you know, that much money for, because the government comes in and artificially inflates the neighborhood.
And there's another aspect of this. What about young people starting out that don't have the financial history, they have difficulty borrowing money to get financed for a new home? If you artificially inflate the price of that property, now the banks, when they do the assessment, they are not going to take into account that artificial inflation.
Right.
They're going to say, okay, well, this house that they want you to pay $200,000 for, our evaluation shows it's only worth $180,000.
Right.
And then we'll loan you 80% of that. So, you know, we'll loan you roughly $160,000.
Right. And so.
But who makes up that additional $20,000?
Well, the people are going to have to make up the difference.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of young people can't afford to buy a new home.
And it's you know, you say young people, but all people now, we're having a housing crisis, and we're having it in Oregon especially, which is crazy because we're land rich. We have a lot of land here, so we shouldn't be having problems with housing.
Yeah, but you can't use it.
But you can't use the land. That's the number one problem. And even if you can use the land, because of the central planning laws that they have, it's almost impossible to make housing affordable with all the rules and regulations that they put on the construction of the houses. That's the other thing that's driving it up. And then you compound that with the urban renewal and enterprise zones that are eating at all the other taxing districts. Those taxing districts have to eventually go out and replace that money, which drives up your taxes for all of that area, and you're spending more and more money, which people who are in lower income can't afford. So you're driving up the prices of housing, and you're driving up the pricing of construction. So that's what urban renewal does. And it does it, and it would happen anyway if it was natural gentrification. Urban renewal is what I call artificial gentrification or government gentrification, where they're pumping money into an area to create the development that they, the central planners, want instead of the area that the market desires. And that's the other problem.
Exactly. They're trying to force markets into areas that they don't want to go.
Which is a bad idea, because a lot of economists have shown that all you're doing is that you're pulling businesses from one area and placing it in another area that may not be as convenient for the customers who are actually utilizing that business.
Yeah.
So it is a form of social engineering, and that's what they're doing.
It's government dictating where you can put a business.
And here's the really rub on this. The Urban Renewal Agency for the county is under the control of the Port of Coos Bay.
Unelected people.
Unelected people appointed by the governor. And the area itself is on the North Spit. And anyone who's been out in the North Spit, there ain't hardly anything out there. So, you know.
Sand.
Sand, if you like sand. And but one of the reasons they're saying they need development is that they want businesses to move out there. Now, a lot of us who have conspiratorial, suspicious minds, we think that a lot of this is going to be infrastructure for the LNG plant.
Right.
Which I'm sure it will. Yeah, which I'm sure it will. And I have no problem with the LNG plant. I do have a problem with us paying for foreign companies to develop their private properties, and that's what this money is eventually going to be used for. And so the county for the last 6 months have had four hearings, I think, and they have to vote on the plan. And they did that last December, and all three commissioners voted on the plan, and it's a 20-year plan, and now it turns into an Exhibit A, which goes into an ordinance, and that ordinance that they have to vote on at the next regularly scheduled meeting that they plan on doing the vote, then that plan is initiated, and it becomes law. And at that point in time, you or anyone can go and put that up for a referendum. We, the people, can file a referendum on it, and that's what I plan on doing. And I hope that many of you who are tired of paying taxes or paying taxes that are being used for bad projects will help me in this endeavor. And one of the things you can do is go to my website at www.CoosCountyWatchdog.com. And if you click on the blog section, or if you click under the issue sections, you can find the shutdown the Coos County URA page, and it will give you a lot of the information that's just hard to disseminate unless you went through it yourself, because the plan itself is like
it's hard to talk about on the radio, because it's so involved that most of it's just going to go right past everybody, because it's one of those things you got to sit down and read it and maybe even make some notes and refer back and forth before you fully understand what's going on.
And this is the way I look at it. It's the difference between having a paying for something up front, like we do with taxes. We sell a bond and then we pay for whatever project we're doing.
Right.
Urban renewal acts as a credit card. You create debt with the project that you build, and then eventually you pay that off over a period of time, siphoning money from the other taxing districts. So basically, it's a slush fund for politicians. You're creating a charge card. And what the county commissioners have done has given the Port of Coos Bay a $37 million charge card that they can pretty much do anything that they want with.
That we, the taxpayers, have to pay for.
Right.
We need to take a break here. If you'd like to join a conversation, give us a call here, 541-267-2124. I would think that this would be important to everybody, because it does affect everybody. We're all going to pay for this if they jam it through like they want to. And surely you have some sort of view on it. So give us a call. This is a chance for you to express your viewpoint. 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, hole-in-the-wall gun shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
Always the right tire, always the right price.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto. Rather than attempting to brave those risky back roads with wore out tires, maybe you should consider an upgrade. If you're ready to enjoy some winter off-roading, then it's time to pay a visit to Far West Tire and Auto, your Bay Area BF Goodrich tire dealer. Stop by and check out our selection of BF Goodrich tires at Far West Tire and Auto, Highway 101, Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. During the break here, we were talking. If the commissioners go ahead with this, which I'm sure they will.
Oh, yeah.
They've already decided they're going to do it. This is another form of taxation. I want you, just stop for a minute, folks. Just stop what you're doing and think about this. As of January 1st, we got hit with five new taxes from the state of Oregon. You know, among them are increased taxes on cars and trucks when you purchase them, increasing license fees. I didn't make a list. I don't remember everything. But we're getting hit with new taxes, and then locally, if you live in Coos Bay, you're going to get hit with this new school bond that was just passed. And there's going to be another one coming up relatively soon because, remember, Marshfield was specifically excluded from that school bond. So they're going to be coming back asking for more money.
And that's why they lowered the bond in the original, from the first one to the second one.
Exactly. We do have a caller here. We got Steve. Steve, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I was curious about that urban renewal.
Okay.
And I've been to a few meetings, and, you know, I got a little bit of an understanding of it, but not enough to qualify to intelligent vote, you know?
Yeah, it's complex and it's difficult.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to explain easily, and, Rob's been on top of this. That's kind of why I kind of turned everything over to him on it. If you have a question or anything, why don't you address it to Rob, because he's more knowledgeable on it than I am.
Okay, yeah. We've been doing this urban renewal for decades, I think.
Right.
You know, and we keep, like, borrowing money or indebting ourselves to more urban renewal and more. In fact, I think the abandoned docks down there, was that an urban renewal project?
I'm not sure that the abandoned docks is.
I think that was state funded.
I think a lot of that was built by private volunteers. In fact, the Bulldog family I know the Bulldog family, and I know they were very much involved with it. He's the one who runs the target shooting place out there, shooting range.
Yeah. The little range out there.
Aside from that, we have had urban renewal though going on for quite a while, haven't we?
Oh yeah, many projects.
Yeah,
and in fact, in Bandon, I was the one who, when they were going to give money to the Drobot family when they were building that cheese factory down there, and I won't name the cheese factories. I don't like to attack private business because I don't blame business for going after urban renewal money. I blame the government for having the urban renewal money in existence in the first place. So
sure.
I don't have a problem with business going after it, but I did try to stop it, and that's, as a citizen, I have a right to do that. Anyone has a right to do that because it's our money. So I went down there, and they were passing a plan, and the plan was, this was back in 2008, and it was going to create $8 million of debt that they could go into. I think they're right now at $5 million, and that debt was pushed out to the year 2033. Now, think about this. The average age of the person on the abandoned city council is 72, so they won't even be alive
yeah.
when this comes due.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? Does it come due a big lump sum at that time, or are we paying every month, every year on it?
Theoretically, we pay every year.
Right.
As taxes are collected.
It's on your bill, yeah.
Yeah, however, one of the things they have a tendency to do is when they want to borrow more money and create more indebtedness for the Urban Renewal Agency, they normally wait until just after tax time,
right,
and then they slip that in on you after you've already paid your taxes on the previous amount, so that by the time tax time rolls around next year, you've forgotten about what you paid before, and it goes up.
And the thing is that unlike any other tax where a city or a county, if they enacted it, they would have to go to the voters. Usually the charters insist that they go to the voters for these tax increases. The state is like that. Urban renewal, however, because it runs on debt that is paid for with taxes, it's a special criteria that they don't have to go to the taxpayers or the voters to ask permission to create this extra liability for the taxpayers. And that's why they like it, because it's almost kind of hidden and obscure. And believe me, anytime you try to get information out of these agencies, they charge you an arm and leg just to get an itemized list of where the money went.
Of where your money went.
Right.
You've got to pay them to find out how they spent your money. That's what it comes down to.
Sounds like government to me.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's a huge scam. You know, government never has enough money. You've got to understand this. Government is a necessary thing, and I don't think government per se is a bad thing. We need government.
Right.
Sure.
But what
sure.
we need is a government that represents the will of the people and acts for the best interests of all of the people, not the special interest. And urban renewal is a scam that has been foisted on the taxpayers. It allows politicians, and if you read the Oregon Urban Renewal Law, I've been through this because I went to battle against the city of North Bend back in the 90s on this.
Right.
But the way the urban renewal law is written, once that district is established, the politicians in charge can spend that money virtually any way they want to, and it's still legal.
And not only that, once you have it in existence, you can't get rid of it until it comes up for renewal. So you're
right.
stuck with it for the 20 years they enact
yeah.
it.
And you're stuck with all of that debt that they keep shoveling into it over that period of time. And even when you get to the end of the period, you get to the end of the 20-year period, if there's still indebtedness, it continues on until
right.
the debt's paid. So,
and it's so complicated and so hard to understand that we, the voters, we go, well, we have this new square with a bunch of concrete down here and this statue or two, you know, and,
yeah,
right.
and it looks pretty. And so we assume, well, it looks like, I guess it's doing good. But one thing I would like for the listeners to know is I used to sell radio advertising, and some of the radio advertising that I sold was paid for with urban renewal dollars.
Yes.
Not the business owners that incurred the advertising and I know there is a lot of, I feel, misuse of urban renewal dollars. And one other question here is, out of the last 20 years or however many years, we're still owe money, though. We still have this big obligation. How much of it has actually been paid off?
Well, they
so
have
far
us
over the last 20 years.
Well,
or
like
does
I
it just keep growing.
Well, it doesn't keep growing because they do have a maximum indebtedness to which they have to be limited by.
Right. And each district has its own debt ceiling.
And they can't, and if they don't have the collateral in the area to back up any of the debt that they're going into, they can't go into any further than the collateral that they have to back up the debt that they are owed
right.
to. So that keeps them a little bit in balance. But the main problem is that these agencies, they create a life of their own, and the cities like them because it keeps the cities from ever having to worry about going bankrupt. Because what they do is they put a lot of that debt into the Urban Renewal Agency. This is how Bandon works. And a lot of that debt is held by the Urban Renewal Agency, so the city looks like it's functioning quite well.
It doesn't show up as indebtedness to the city.
It doesn't show up to indebtedness to the city. So, and by our constitution, you can't have a city that's in debt. Well, you know, the budget has to balance for cities and counties. And so they don't mind Urban Renewal because they push that debt over there, and the agency itself, because it's autonomous from the city, carries that debt.
Right. In other words, when it comes budget time in a city, the city says, oh, well, we need this much money, but we just don't have it, and we can't balance the budget. So what they do is they take a portion of the debt, they move it over into Urban Renewal, and magically the budget balances. Even though they haven't paid off a penny of the indebtedness, they've just moved it over so they can be in compliance with the law on a balanced budget, but we, the taxpayers, still get socked for that money.
And it's called financing du jour. That's the term, financing of the day.
Yep.
That's not a good thing, because how many governments we experience that are uncontrolled in their spending, and they just can sock it away to our future. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
Well, it's been going on for decades, and you know, we've got an opportunity right now to stop it in Coos County.
Right.
If we don't stop it, then we're in it for another two decades minimum.
And the thing is, you know, the fact that it is so complicated is the reason that I tell people you shouldn't support it. If you can't hear something explained to you within 5 minutes and comprehend what you're talking about, because property taxes is pretty straightforward. This is what the property's worth. This is how much you're going to pay, and that's where it's going to go. That's straightforward. Where Urban Renewal is so convoluted, and they obfuscate a lot of the facts to it, and purposely, that the average citizen hasn't a clue what's going on.
Right.
It's like a shell game, huh?
Exactly. That's Absolutely. Exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you guys for doing your best to enlighten the rest of us, because it is so complicated. Unless you can totally sit down for hours and or, you know, many, many meetings to finally get a grasp of it. But slowly it starts making a little more sense, and what I hear of it and understand, I don't like it.
Well, yeah, I don't either. That's the thing, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons they make it so complicated and convoluted.
Right.
Once you start to understand it, you see that it's nothing more than a scam. And they don't want people to understand it. And the problem that Rob and I have is you have a very, very complex situation, and it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to explain it in such a way that people can grasp exactly what it is. You know, the best we can hope for is hit the high points and hope that people pay attention and maybe do a little investigation on their own.
And Jim, that's the exact reason they won't put it on the ballot, because if the people don't understand it, they're not going to support it or vote for it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, that, and they just keep indebting us and indebting us, the taxpayers, more and more over the... And so what we owe to Urban Renewal is now come to an end, and this is a new 20-year deal, or do we still have some that we owe?
Well, right now, this is the thing. They've got a slush fund over there. They got about $1 million sitting in the bank, and yet they've only got about $50,000 in debt. Now, they're not going to pay off that debt, because as soon as they do, the agency closes down, right? So they have to get this plan passed, so they have all these new projects to spend that slush fund on, because they got to keep it going for another 20 years. And anyone who thinks this is a great idea, then you tell me, what has Urban Renewal done on the North Spit that was worth the millions of dollars that they have taken? You just name one thing on the North Spit that Urban Renewal has done that was worthwhile. And I know a lot of people will say, well, they did help. They used Urban Renewal money to put a track in, you know, for the trains. But that only helps one business. And I can tell you right now, they would have found the money somewhere else.
And there's one other business, I can't remember the name of it, that moved over there that Urban Renewal helped. But here's the bottom line. Right now, the community is relatively polarized over the prospects of an LNG plant over there.
Right.
I would think that the people who oppose the LNG plant would also oppose the urban renewal, because that LNG plant is being subsidized by urban renewal dollars.
Well, you know, that's the great thing. This urban renewal, and especially the commissioners Cribbins and Sweet, they have united the extreme right and the extreme left. Of course, they have united them against their own urban renewal agency. And see, the greenies, they don't want any development because they think it's a natural wild area, right. So they don't want to pay for any development. And conservative Republicans, they passed a resolution against it because they are all for development. They just don't think the people should be paying for it.
And I would agree.
Well, there's a good chance it might go down then, huh? If we put enough pressure on the commissioner, is that how it works?
Yeah, if Rob can do the referendum, if we can get it on the ballot, I think it would probably crash and burn.
I think so, too. But there are a few legal problems. Right now, there was a court case in Oregon City where they were saying, the court has ruled that even though it's a legislative matter, that a vote or a public referendum couldn't shut down this agency. And they gave legal reasons why, and I'll have to read through the court case to figure it out. But my fear is that the commissioners are going to pass this, and once they pass it, enact it, and say, well, we can't do a referendum because of that court case, that
right.
You can't close it down by an act of a vote or an act of the people once we have the plan initiated by the ordinance. And so that's my worry. Or they're going to pass it as an emergency clause because the county can do
right.
that, and I won't be able to vote, won't be able to file a referendum on it. So we've got to watch out for the tricks that Cribbins and Sweet may pull on us.
Exactly. And you know they're going to do it because both of them have proven that they don't represent the people, they represent the special interests. And, you know, we'll get into that another day, but neither Cribbins or Sweet are representing the people. They're representing the people that give them money.
or that they're just receiving the benefits from the urban renewal.
Exactly.
Funds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
right.
they're buying votes with your dollars. That's what it comes down to.
I need to cut this. I'm stuck up in the Elliott right now. Well, not stuck, but I mean, I had to stop because I kept losing phone service.
Oh, yeah.
And but I got to get down. I got to go to a birthday party tonight and at the rodeo. And so I got to get going. But I really appreciate your information and what you guys are doing for the area.
Well,
I just took my hat off.
Well, so, we appreciate it. You know, all too often, all I get is criticism. And it's kind of nice that somebody actually appreciates the effort to keep the public informed, because that's really all we're doing here. We're just trying to let the people know what's really going on, as opposed to the lies and the deceit and the misrepresentation that you get from the politicians and most of the media. So,
well, if you weren't the guy people love to hate so much, is that how it goes? You'd probably get more recognition, right?
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, most of the recognition I get is negative, but I'm a big boy. I can deal with it.
Yeah, or is it hate to love? I forget which it is now.
Yeah, the guy everybody hates to love. Anyway, Steve, I thank you for the call, and you have a great day, and Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, thank you, and y'all too.
Okay, and with that, we desperately need to take a break that we're way overdue for, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
With the holiday season nearly upon us, many of us could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, pays cash for firearms, gold and silver coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. World Pawn Exchange is also a fun place to shop for those unique items you may not be able to find elsewhere. So if you need cash or are looking for something special, stop by the World Pawn Exchange at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend. Browse through their extensive inventory of handguns, rifles, and shotguns, too.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at coventrydirect.com. Coventry Direct. Giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. We've been talking about this urban renewal thing, and this caller was a very good caller because it gave us an opportunity. This is a complex situation, folks, and I know that a lot of you listening don't really understand all the ins and outs, because I've been studying this for, gosh, probably close to 20 years.
Right.
And there's still things about it that I don't quite understand because they keep changing the rules on you.
Well, you know, they had a federal urban renewal program back in the 50s. In fact, that was the thing that created all the inner cities,
right,
of all the you know, Birmingham and all of the places that are now facing crime, high rates, and all that stuff. That's all due to federal urban renewal program. And see, Jim, like you said, you don't know what's going to happen until 20 years after you've had this program, and to see the deleterious effects and other consequences, you don't know that until a decade or
no.
two down the road. And basically, the federal urban renewal program is what caused white flight from the cities and caused sprawl throughout these suburban areas and rural areas.
Right, and then the inner cities basically became hotbeds of crime and lowlifes.
Right, and in fact, a lot of the economists predicted a lot of these riots that we're having today, because they said if you put so many people in a high-density area where you don't have jobs or the resources to supply those people with the foods and the means that they need to take care
right.
of themselves, you're going to have high crimes.
They're going to rebel.
And they're going to rebel, and that's what you have in Birmingham right now.
Well, look at
Detroit.
Look what happened to Detroit. It's happening right before our eyes in Chicago.
Right.
You know, you can mentally go around the country, and you can pinpoint, all these places. And then when you dig under the surface, you find out it started with urban renewal.
Right, right. You know, and now they got rid of federal urban renewal plans. This was back in the early 70s. And what they did is they allowed the states to create their own
right.
urban renewal agencies, which to me, if it's bad for the state,
well,
it's like...
those haven't fared any better than the federal.
Not at all. And in fact, I've got two urban renewal battles coming up because, as I said, there are seven areas ran by five agencies, urban renewal agencies here in Coos County. One of the areas for the Coos Bay Urban Renewal Agency, the Empire area, their plan is getting ready to expire. And so they're going to be having a meeting pretty soon at the Dolphin Theater. And let's see, that is happening tomorrow, January 9th, at the Dolphin Theater, beginning at 5:30 p.m., and that is located at 580 Newmark Avenue. Now, the interesting thing, Jim, is that the Newmark Theater received $97,000
right.
from the Urban Renewal Agency back in 2015. And when they sent out all of the flyers about what a great renovation project this was, not one of those flyers had the dollar amount that we paid for that
right.
project.
Well, now, if you want to know how effective the Empire Urban Renewal Agency is, remember, what was it, 5-6 years ago?
Right.
They built that triangular-shaped island at the junction of Ocean Boulevard and Newmark.
Right.
And that turned into a traffic nightmare and was actually dangerous.
Dangerous, yes.
And they spent the money to put that in, and then they had to spend the money to take it out. That was one of their brilliant ideas that we, the taxpayers, got double-dipped on.
Well, if all of you have noticed the construction that's going on down at the Shell station on the south side of the city coming in, they're putting in a new sign for the city.
Right.
And they've also, that was combined with another project for the sign at the north entrance,
right.
which they're redoing that. Now, together, both of those projects are going to cost us taxpayers, get this, $300,000 of our tax money is going for a couple of signs that I could have thrown up on, you know, the guys with the cardboard, they could have done it. They could stand there with the cardboard.
I'd have done the whole project for half of that and still laughed all the way to the bank.
Right. And you probably would have done it better because you ever seen the joke of a project that they got over there?
I've been looking at it as I drove past.
Well, that's your tax money. That's
yes.
urban renewal. Now, the streets are deteriorating, and they don't use the urban renewal money to fix the streets because a lot of cases they can't, but yet they have.
They can within the urban renewal district.
Within the urban renewal district, that's right.
But they're not doing it.
They're not doing it. They're wasting it on these types of projects, or they're giving it to the local drama club, which, you know, I pay enough taxes for drama into Congress. You know what I mean? I mean, if I'm going to pay for drama queens, I think Nancy Pelosi and Schumer already qualify for it, right?
Absolutely. And don't forget Maxine Waters, you know.
Right.
But the thing is, I don't begrudge any of these businesses. I don't begrudge a Dolphin players. You know, if the money's there and you get your hands on it, by all means do so.
I wish I could have a bag full.
But why is that money there?
Right.
Why are the taxpayers subsidizing private business?
And see, taxpayers are always asking, well, where are they wasting the money? Where are these programs that's a waste? Well, urban renewal is one of those programs. Urban renewal is nothing but a slush fund. And if you just remember that, you'll be fine when you go to this meeting tomorrow, because the first thing you need to ask them, number one, how is it moral or fair to the people who do not live inside the urban renewal area to have to pay for the area that's actually receiving the majority of the benefits? And then number two, ask them why this is, if it's such a great benefit, we don't do it all over the city. Why don't we have the whole county?
Yeah, if this is so wonderful, why aren't we doing it everywhere? Yeah.
And most of all, if you like the idea, ask them why they didn't put it on the ballot.
Well, and the other problem with urban renewal, and this is where I got into it with City of North Bend back in the 90s, they were gerrymandering the districts
right.
to include properties owned by specific people.
Right.
And that still goes on today.
Oh, yeah.
It goes back to what Sweet and Cribbins have become well known for. They represent their cronies, and we, the ordinary folks out here, can basically stick it where the sun don't shine.
That should be a question. If you go to the meeting tomorrow at the Dolphin Theater at 5:30, ask them who drew the map for the urban renewal area and why is it drawn in a way where certain businesses are excluded and certain businesses are included.
Right.
And then find out who owns those businesses.
Yep. Yep. That's, you know, and, you know, the thing is, without us here doing this, nobody would ever bring it up. You know, the not quite daily toilet paper, they don't address stuff like this.
I'm not
in
even
fact,
sure
they support it.
Right, and I'm not even sure they're awake half the time when
they're
at the meetings.
Yeah, well, they've already proven that, you know, they call themselves a newspaper, but I think that's a euphemism. It's wishful thinking.
Hey, did you ever find out if they supported Measure 101 or not? I didn't see any editorial.
I haven't. Well, I don't subscribe to it.
Right.
And my wife, much to my dismay, has a tendency to go out and buy the weekend edition so she can get the coupons and stuff.
Garage sales, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the sales stuff, but... To me, to pay $4 or $5 for something that isn't even appropriate to hang in a bathroom is a waste of money.
Right.
But it is what it is. We got to take another break here. And to ease the blow, we're going to give something away. This is from the Lucky Star Chinese restaurant. As a matter of fact, we just ordered from them yesterday. They're located at the foot of Newmark, right on Highway 101 there. Everybody knows where they're at by now. They're open from 11 in the morning to 9:30, 7 days a week, and you can dine in. And the service, by the way, is great if you dine in. It's a really pleasant place to go eat.
And it's good they're open until 9:30.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And you can carry out, and they deliver. You know, my wife and I were in the middle of some stuff yesterday. Neither of us wanted to stop and cook. We just called down to Lucky Star, told them what we wanted. 20 minutes later, our food showed up. It doesn't get any better than that. So what they're offering is their house special dinner. This is huge. It includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll, pork fried rice and pork chow mein. I ordered that one time. I've never ordered it again.
I was going to say one time because you're still eating on it,
well,
right?
Yeah. Well, I ordered one order of it for my wife and I, and the two of us couldn't eat it all. It's a huge meal. Anyway, I'm going to give away this house special dinner at the Lucky Star Chinese restaurant to caller number 3. At 541-267-2124. So dial the phone now, 541-267-2124. And you too can have a house special dinner at the Lucky Star Chinese restaurant, and you can overeat the same way I did.
Think about this. What makes you want to buy a vehicle you're looking at? Is it the price, style, comfort, the color? Sure, these are important and main factors, but what about during the process? What about after the sale? Jim, the owner of Jim Vic Auto Sales, believes customer service and a sales staff that does everything they can to help you is just as important, if not more. That's why Jim says,
if I can't save you money, I don't deserve your business.
Jim Vic Auto Sales on the corner of Virginia and Broadway and online at Jim Vic Auto Sales.
Today's newer vehicles are more dependable than ever before. Qualified technicians keep them operating at peak efficiency. Bayshore Auto Repair, North Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay, have all the proper equipment and training to service and repair today's high-tech vehicles. Bayshore Auto Repair believes that care of their customers is just as important as the care they give your vehicle. Call 269-2700 for an appointment to keep your car, truck, or RV in top running condition. Bayshore Auto Repair. Top quality service and excellent customer care are their most important goals.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. You know, we've only got a, because I'm unable to control the time and get the advertising in when I should, we're stuck here with about 4 minutes left in the show. I kind of want to recap what we went over today because I think it's important. Ballot Measure 101, it's a scam. It's really that simple.
Right.
It's the legislature not doing their job and expecting the taxpayers to pay because they won't do their job. Real simple.
Very simple, right?
And, you know, now if you're one of those people that thinks you're not paying enough in taxes, if you're one of those people that believes the lies that's being put out there, because it is virtually every print ad, radio commercial and TV commercial supporting this thing has been full of lies. I mean, this is not my opinion. I can prove that to anybody that wants to sit down and read through the bill itself. I can prove that virtually all that advertising supporting this is a pack of lies. And it's all paid for by the special interests that supported Obamacare that stand to benefit from this. So it's all these people that are already living out of your pocket wanting more of your money. And then the urban renewal thing, again, another government scam. It's a way to create a pot of money that the politicians can use without accountability. Remember, they're not accountable for this. They can spend that on anything they want, according to the Oregon statute. So it's another way to create a pot of money for politicians to spend on their pet projects to benefit the people they want to benefit as opposed to the people, to the public in general. And a prime example of that, it's not under urban renewal, but it's the same principle, is this South Coast
enhancement.
This enhancement thing.
South Coast Community
Yeah, South Coast Community Enhancement Project,
yep.
Whatever. The only people that are going to benefit from that are the people that own property on the waterfront.
Right.
And the people that own the property on the waterfront are generally a hell of a lot richer than the rest of us.
And you know, there's a lot going on over there because there was a lot of properties exchanging. And if you remember, FEMA had those maps out, which
right.
made it impossible for anyone to do any development over there. And I'm willing a lot of property probably sold at undervalue to people who knew that eventually that will be lifted and those properties values
yeah,
will go up a little bit more.
If Sweet and his cronies get their way, and they siphon those millions of dollars off of the LNG thing, the only people that are going to see that money are the property owners
right.
along the bay. And they, you know, and they say, oh, well, it's for the schools. Not true. If you read their articles of incorporation, it says may give money to the schools. Not shall, may. In other words, they've got the option to do it, but they're not required to do it.
And even if they do, any money they're getting from the state goes back to the state because the equalization funding will claw it back
exactly.
to the state.
Exactly, exactly. Anyway, that's the show in a nutshell, folks. I'm really glad that you tuned in. I appreciate every single listener. And I'm open to suggestion. You know, if there's something I can do to make the show better for you, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this week, but I will be back next week. And until then, I want you to go out there and you have a great week.
Should be heard 6:30 and 101.1 FM KWRO Coquille live on KWRO.com.
Budget Work in Washington. I'm Ann Cates.